Turn, if you will, in your Bibles tonight to Isaiah chapter 6, and y'all probably know it by heart, a passage of scripture that most everybody has heard and learned. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 through 9. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having his in his hand a live coal, which he had taken from the tongue from the altar, with the tongue from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, I have touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged." And also I heard a voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I. Send me." And he said, "Go and tell this people. Keep on hearing, and do not understand. Keep on seeing, but they do not perceive." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much tonight, Lord, for just opening our hearts that we might hear your word and see it, Lord, and at the point of our need in our life. And God, we give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. As I was looking at this passage of Scripture this week, and I love this passage of Scripture, it was a time of loss of the king. It's a time of turmoil. And I'm sure a lot of uncertainty. Is that me? All right. I'm just a bobblehead, I guess. Unfortunately, it's a time when there's a lot of, we do not know what's going to take place, happening. Now, and all the questions begin to arise, I'm sure. I believe we have God's formula here for life. God's formula for our life. What we need to do, what we can expect, and how to go about doing what God expects of us. So if you're here tonight, and you've been a Christian for a long time, and most everybody on Sunday nights here, they're born-again Christians, and they've come and they support the Lord's work in the church and hear God speak, and a lot of them that... only Sunday morning goers that they're not here, but and we have a lot of trouble in our churches and people having all kinds of difficulty, and we see things happening in our country. We wonder, why is all of this happening, and how's it going to affect me in my life, and what am I to do about this? Well, I believe it's God's formula for our life. One, we see the message here. Now, it does that when I do this, don't it? I guess I got it pulled too tight back here, I don't know. But y'all just bear with it. You can use that as a capital M. Maybe I pulled it loose, I don't know. I didn't do it that time. Because it's an absolute. It's an absolute. Never, God's word never changes here. It's never to be revised. It comes from... God, it's written by inspired men of God. There's never a mistake in God's word. It's the inerrant word of God. And here is the vision of what Isaiah saw in his life in the year that King Uzziah died. Isaiah was a servant of God. A servant of God must be one that has a personal relationship with God. Now, I suppose tonight most of you have a personal relationship with God. I'll stay close to this mic. When you have a personal relationship with God, if you will let God, He will lead your life. But in your life, you need to do some things. You need to worship God. You need to commune with God on a daily basis and fellowship with God. Those are important things in our life that a lot of born-again people do not do today. They don't worship God. They don't live in communion with God. They don't fellowship with God, our God's people. And listen to what the Bible says. I love what chapter in Hebrews? 11. All right, you got that this morning from the message, didn't you? I love the chapter of Hebrews, chapter 11, because it's a hall of fame about those men and women who had a great relationship and a great faith in God. And what we need in our life is a great faith. We can believe God for the things that we need in life. God never lets us down, and He wants us to believe Him for things in life. I believe every Sunday morning that somebody is going to be saved in our service. I just thank God right now for next Sunday, and I praise God all week for next Sunday that somebody will be touched in our service. And if you don't believe God for great things, you're not going to receive great things. You only get what you believe. So believe God for great things in your life. He wants to give us great things. Now, in the very first, it says in verse 4 of Hebrews 11, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. It was by faith in God. It's simply saying that Abel worshiped God. That's a simple way of saying it. Abel worshiped God. Before we can do anything in life for God, we must worship God. Before we set up that Ebenezer or the stone or anything, we must worship God with our life. Abel worshiped God. Now, in Hebrews 11, verse 5, it says, by faith, Enoch walked with God, man, and was taken away so that he should not see death. How did he walk with God? Well, he walked with God because he first worshiped God. You worship God and you walk with God in life. That leads us to a formula for our life. First, folks, we need to worship God. It is important in our lives not to just come to church on Sunday, but every day think about God. Praise God with your life. Praise God for what He's doing in your life. I just love to sing songs about God. If you go out there in that old black pickup and punch the button, you're going to hear all gospel music. Some of it's, what do they call that? Not hillbilly, but bluegrass. Okay, bluegrass. Some of it's bluegrass. Some of it's just southern gospel. Man, but I love to drive. When I left here Wednesday night, I drove for an hour and a half, and that played all the way, just praising God. Man, I love to hear that music. I don't really listen to any other music but that kind of music, because to me, it's like the music they played. Those songs just praise God and let God get the glory in everything. But, you know, you've got to worship God, and you've got to walk with God. That's what Enoch did. And before we can see the power of God, we must walk with Him and know His presence in our life. So we've got to worship, we've got to walk with God if we're going to feel His power and presence in our life. Things were bad in Isaiah. Isaiah was at the temple. Have you ever thought about that? When the year that King Uzziah died, I was at the temple, saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up. When things were at its worst, boy, when, now I don't know if I, in America, some of the worst days I guess we've ever had was 9/11. Is that right? Yeah, 9/11. Kennedy was assassinated in Dallas, and I can remember we, the kids in our school and stuff, going out and standing at the flagpole and lowering it to half mast, and some was saying, "What in the world's going to happen? What are we going from here? What's going to become?" Well, when America was at its worst, we ought to have been worshiping God. We ought to have been at the temple praying. We ought to come with our lives praying. Isaiah was at the temple and he saw the Lord there and the holiness of God. Friends, God desires our presence in worship. God desires our presence in worship. We're not going to have revival if we don't worship God with our presence. It's so important to come to church. It's so important. People tell me all the time, "Well, I worship God on the deer stand. That's where I like to go sometimes. I worship God on the golf course. I worship God, preacher. I can worship him out there in the boat." But you won't. I know. I've been to those places. We don't worship God on the lake, do we? We're thinking about catching that fish. We don't worship God on the golf course. We're worried about finding our balls lost. We don't worship God in the hunting stands. Most of the time, we're thinking about the next deer or the deer that comes along. But friends, we need to be in worship service, worshiping the Lord on Sunday. We need that in our lives on an everyday basis, Monday through Sunday. We need to worship God in some way, form, or fashion, reading our Bible, thinking about him, listening to his praises. Man, worship God more than just our service. God desires our presence in worship. He desires our holiness more than our talents and our abilities. 1 Peter verse 1, chapter 1, 16, he says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Amen. He desires us to be holy. He desires our worship in him. What did he say to Martha when he was at the house and she was in the kitchen and she come in and said, "Lord, won't Mary help me?" And he said, "Martha, you're cumbered with so many things. Mary has chosen the best part." Listen to the word of God. And you know, today we're not seeing revival in our churches because we've not taken time to worship God. We're not holy in our conduct as Christians. Man, I see Christians all day long. I think they call themselves Christians. You're not worshiping God in your conduct when you're talking, telling a off-color joke or saying curse words or criticizing or belittling someone. That's not worshiping God with your life. That's not the kind of conduct he wants. And a lot of times people say, "Well, preacher, you know what? I'm so busy, I just didn't have time to come to church Sunday. My kids were coming in." Don't tell me that. You see, busyness is no substitute for worship. And busyness is no substitute for holiness. We're awful busy nowadays. Everybody's so busy, but they don't have time for God. Isaiah was at the temple with God on his heart, and he saw the Lord, and he lifted up, and he was, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." How long? I was asking myself, has it been since we stopped long enough in our daily life to see God with the eyes of faith and believe him for something? All the ones in Hebrews, they died. What did they do? Died believing, didn't they? They died believing. And when everything was going fast and furious, man, I was thinking,
Isaiah, it was bound to have been going fast and furious. King died. He's come to the temple, and he's worshiping God, and he's seeing the holiness of God, and he's got a vision of God's holiness. And folks, when everything goes fast and furious in our day, and we talk about, man, the days are flying by. Amen? Or oh, me. They're flying by. I wonder sometimes, where did last year go? It's gone. And I look back and said, Lord, what did I accomplish for you the last year? What did I believe you for last year? When everything else was going, Isaiah was in the temple worshiping God. Now, when Isaiah worshiped God, what happened? He caught a vision with an immediate response from in his life. But when we get a vision of God's holiness, he cried out, woe is me. He saw himself and he said, Lord, I am undone. Now, the Lord already knew he was undone. But what a confession Isaiah had. He said, woe! My life is not measuring up to what God wants. Have you ever thought about that? The closer you get to the Lord, the better we see ourselves for what we really are. How do you see yourself? Well, I measure up pretty good if I don't look it in the mirror. One day, Rhonda and I was looking at these mirrors. Oh, they're bright. And she was talking about, boy, you can put your makeup on with this thing. I looked in that thing and it scared me to death. I didn't know I had so many wrinkles. I got more wrinkles than a map's got. My son said, Daddy, you know what you and the Chinese phone book got in common? I said, what? He said, multiple chins. That boy don't give me any slack. Some of y'all will catch that one of these days. I almost slapped him, you know. If he wasn't bigger than I was, but huh. Anyhow, we measure ourselves but looking at others, don't we? But when we turn on the light, and God is light, and we look at God's holiness, boy, we see our sinfulness as Isaiah, and he says, Lord, I am undone. I am undone. God just literally turned on the light and let Isaiah see himself for what he was. And he cried out, woe am I, for I am a man of unclean lips. And then not only that, he saw his surroundings. We see around us, and he said, I live in a land that's unclean. And folks, I believe we're living in a land today that is unclean. I believe more than anything else, the modern church is too much like the world. Did y'all see that preacher that said if Jesus come back, he would be driving a $54 million plane? I said, man, you don't read your Bible much. If Jesus comes back, he won't need a plane. Amen. But I can't imagine a preacher saying something. Well, I can't. I've heard some of them. And, you know, I can't believe, you know, that's really worshiping God as much as it is conning people out of their money. And, folks, I look at the modern church, and let me tell you something. We see a downward trend in our churches, downward trend in our baptism, downward trend in our, and it's here, in our numbers of people that come to Bible study. And everything else. It's on a downward slope. And a lot of churches, I had one guy say, you know, we don't turn on the church. We don't come to church on Sunday anymore on Sunday nights because it's cost too much just to open the church and air condition. And I'm thinking to myself, is it costing us too much to worship God? We don't have to turn on all the lights. But we don't have to dismiss church either. You see, we ought to be able to come to church even if we don't have any air conditions. I know it's hot, but we used to do it, didn't we? And we saw revivals back then. We must return to the worship of God and catch a vision of just what God wants us to do. And we've moved away from His presence, and we've moved away from His power. And we must see ourselves as God sees us in our unholiness and cry, "Woe is me! I am undone, and I live in a land that is undone." Now, when we do, God will send cleansing. Look what happens in Isaiah when he confesses, verse 6. "Then one of the seraphim flew with a coal from the altar and touched his mouth with it. And God says, 'Your iniquities have been taken away, and your sin is purged.'" Folks, when we get on our knees before God, when we see ourselves undone, when we confess our sin, God will respond with the forgiveness of sin. He says He will. He says, "If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, what then will I hear from heaven? Forgive their sin and cleanse their land." Folks, that's what we need in our life. God is quick, and He wants us to respond to Him and get right with Him and worship Him. Now let's just review this and I'll close. Isaiah, the formula for our life is, Isaiah saw the Lord. He had a vision. Isaiah said, "Woe is me." He had a response. And God said, "Your sins are cleansed." There's a result. He worshiped, he confessed, and it brought cleansing. That is God's formula for our life. Oh, how God wants us to worship Him and confess that He is Lord, and He will bring cleansing. I believe it's not too late. I believe if a church, if a group of people, if you as an individual want to see God work in your life, He still does. He's waiting on you to worship Him. Now, Isaiah hears God's voice. "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" When we worship God, folks, it'll lead us to a confession in our life. And a confession leads to cleansing in our life. And then God issues us a challenge in our life. We need to see the world in need. Folks, our world is in sad shape. I can deal right here in the within a probably 100 yards of this church and show you lost people. I can see boys and girls and men and women not going to church on Sunday night, living for the devil in the world. And we need to see that. And we need to have a burden for that. So many times we worship. We come to church on Sunday. You can say, "Well, preacher, you're not talking to me. I was at church this morning. I came to Bible study this morning." And I say, praise God. We confess. We say, "Lord, I messed up this week. I need your cleansing." God cleanses. But that's where we stop. That's where we stop. That's where we stop. When we are saved, we need to see more than just ourselves lost. We need to see the lost and the hurting outside our church. Jesus saw them and had compassion on them. The Bible says He wept over Jerusalem and said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem." Man, Isaiah said, "Here am I, Lord. Send me. I live in a land of unclean lips. Lord, here am I." The Lord asked, "Who shall I send? And who's going to go?" And He said, "Lord, here am I." He didn't say, "Lord, send my neighbor." He didn't say, Lord, send my preacher. He didn't say, Lord, send my Sunday school teacher. He said, here am I. Let me go. Have you worshiped God and confessed that he is Lord and he's cleansed your life, he saved your life, but have you stopped there? So many times we do. The Bible says we're saved to serve. And we've been given a commission by our Lord and Savior to go into all the world. That's the formula for our life. He worshiped God when everything was going bad. And he got a vision of God's holiness that led to a response that brought cleansing, and result, God gave him a challenge and a commission to go and tell this people, keep on hearing, keep on seeing. They didn't understand, they didn't perceive, but he said, keep on, make the heart of this people. They're dull. Their ears are heavy. They've shut their eyes. Man. Then I said, how long? And he said, until the cities are laid waste. Folks, we never stop. The Lord has given us something to do for the rest of our life. And I believe with all my heart, he's not through with me. He's not through with you. Or you wouldn't be here sucking in his air. You see, when he gets through with you, he'll take you to that place. But until then, preach the word. Tell people about Jesus. Get our lives right with him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the formula for life that we need to worship you. Lord, with all our hearts, see your holiness.
Reproach. And God, I thank you tonight for these that have come. Lord, as we go out from here tonight, Lord, let us see the world as you see them. And let us have compassion on them and show them the way. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Would you stand?